Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
11 o'clock hour here on a Monday in KC. Chiefs get the win, of course, over the Colts. Yeah, season still alive. 6-5. Cowboys coming up on Thanksgiving in Dallas. 3:30, 3:25, whatever it is, kick on Thanksgiving. Gonna have to be a little more locked in than you normally would be, you know? Yeah, I did.
And you couldn't convince the family to not do it during the Chiefs game. Did you make one more last-ditch effort knowing that the game is now even more important than it felt a few days ago?
I did try, but I'm just one of many, and I'm not the one cooking.
You're a team player?
I'm not the one cooking. It's over at my one of my sisters and brother-in-law's house is where we're doing it. And so my opinion on this matter doesn't carry much weight.
Was anyone on your side? Just out of curiosity, did you have one other partner?
I bet you.
You didn't pull the room.
My guess is my brother-in-law's would have agreed. My thought again was normally you have to understand, normally we would eat at like 4 o'clock. That's just for whatever reason. That's always been the time. And part of that is because my other sister, my twin sister, her husband's family, so her in-laws, they do something like at 11 o'clock. So she's going over there at 11. So there's no way we could just bump everything earlier because we don't want to mess up their stuff either. So then you're trying to find the happy medium. And I suggested, I told you 6:30 or 7:00, and I was told that's too late. So, All right. I would have loved that, Cody.
Tough, man.
You know, it'll be all right. We will talk about the Cowboys here in about 6 or 7 minutes. I am still curious, and we can talk. I'm curious, what are you guys doing for Thanksgiving, in particular around the game? How are you working that out? Drew, Cody, and then, of course, the text line, 913-586-7965. But back to the Colts and Chiefs for a second here, because on one hand, you leave the game and just find a way to win, right? That's all that matters and at this point. It really is. And then you look at some of the numbers out of this one. I think a Colts fan can make the same argument in reverse. But on one hand, I look at the numbers. I'm like, the Chiefs, in a weird way, dominated at the same time as they also needed an overtime win. It's weird. They were down 20-9. And I actually think, certainly with the second half, you could argue the Chiefs, with the way the defense was playing with 5 straight 3-and-outs, the Chiefs should have won and easily covered. And they didn't. They only won by 3. They didn't even cover. It's weird that basically the Chiefs had 240 more total yards. The Chiefs racked up 33 first downs. The Colts had 10.
This season by any team in the NFL, the 33, worth noting.
The Chiefs were 2 for 2 on fourth downs, so they extended drives. The Colts punted 6 times. The Chiefs only punted 3 times. And then on the flip side, the Colts won the turnover margin. The Colts didn't give up a sack. And so I can make a case, I think, if I was in Indianapolis today and say, hey, all this went perfectly, and we still didn't win. And then on the Chiefs side, I can say, how did the Chiefs not win by 10 points?
Is it okay? Like, is it an acceptable stance to both like the offense and hate it simultaneously? Because, I think that this is my confusion over the Chiefs' offense. All of their problems seem to start and end with RPOs. So, the near pick six, I know it wasn't a pick six, but it might as well have been. You put them on, the 5-yard line, setting them up for an instant touchdown. So the interception seemed like it came from the predictability. The shotgun run versus going under center in the red zone seemed to be the problem. And look, just the red zone offense in general might just be the part of the offense I hate, because they move the ball, and they've moved the ball all year. Points per drive, drives it in scoring, all the stuff that point to the Chiefs should be a significantly better offense than they are on paper from a points perspective. And they're still not bad from a points perspective. Going into the game, they were top 10.
I was going to say, isn't this the story of the season? I mean, hasn't that kind of been the thing?
In a lot of ways, yes. But in this game, because they stuck to the run, because they got first downs, because they moved the ball. They're ninth, by the way, in points per game offensively. This felt like a game in which, other than the couple of games where they actually had it, right? Washington or whatever. This is the closest I felt to, like, maybe them actually having it. Rice was involved. Kelsey was involved. Worthy had a big play. And they seemed like they moved the ball with relative ease against the Colts for the entire game. I still think they have to borderline eliminate RPOs from their offense.
Well, that's like, not happening.
I understand
and,
that.
And nor should it, but it certainly, like, has become predictable.
It is like that is the part of the offense and the red zone in which, is there something you can do in the red zone that allows you to be a team that people don't know what you're going to do? Because it seems like half of the plays are Patrick Mahomes scrambling outside and having to throw it away. The other are shotgun runs in the red zone. Like, the red zone is where I feel like my issues lie, not the rest of it. All those other stats, the yardage you point out in the fourth quarter, all that stuff, that makes sense.
And I know they were going up against a very good defense, and we know the history with Lou Anarumo in particular. Yeah. There were times in the first half they were dropping 8 in coverage, and Mahomes could not figure that out.
Same thing they did in that AFC championship.
Yeah, and Mahomes could not figure that out. It led to some overthrows. It led to him missing some guys open in the flat. And then when the Colts were in man-to-man coverage, I felt like there were guys that were struggling to get open. It was a combination of both, and that's what led to Daniel Jones outplaying Patrick Mahomes in the first half of that football game. But some of this stuff, like the red zone issues, this has been an ongoing thing. You know, the first and goal at the 2 out of shotgun and settling for a field goal. That we've mentioned that 3 or 4 times this year. I mean, there was a lot of similarities in the first half to the Bills game, if we're being honest about how the game script was going. You know, right before half, they had the decision to make again. Were they going to go for it, or were they going to kick the field goal? They kicked the field goal yet again and took the points, and they got the ball to start the second half, and yet again, they did not do anything with their first possession right out of half, if I'm not mistaken.
They got to run the... No, they went 3 and out.
Yeah, same thing as the Bills game.
They got to run the ball under center more. Those are things that we still know. It's so hard because... Even like last year, they kept trying to tell us, oh, the offense is really close. I'm like, BS. We don't believe you. It wasn't close, and at no point did it look close until the playoffs, where maybe finally they got a few things rolling. This year, like, they scored on 6 drives and had a red zone turnover in the other. So, like, they had 7 potential drives where they were going to put points on the board. Normally, that's fine. Like, why aren't you getting in the end zone more? So I guess a lot of this is diagnosing, why aren't they a good team in the red zone? And one of them is, I still think one of them is still the cutesy stuff. Like, not being able to get the ball in to win the game.
2-yard line.
That would have won the game. You didn't have to go to overtime. You could have won the game if you could have just gotten the ball in the end zone for a touchdown inside the 2-yard line, and they failed on 3 straight plays. And honestly, had they stayed at the 2, not lost yards when he got sacked on the final play, I mean, I would have been maybe tempted to go for it on 4th. I'd have probably kicked the field goal.
Yeah,
I asked the question.
Yeah, tie the game.
I said maybe tempted.
Yeah.
But because he got sacked, it's like, I don't know if they need to run more in the red zone or they need to utilize different bodies or go bigger sets. But I would spend every waking minute of the 10 days after this game, obviously, where they can't make huge changes because of the short week, trying to figure out how we could be better in that spot, because that is clearly their issue. Their issue is not moving the football or having weapons.
In the passing game, other than what we mentioned with Mahomes, I didn't think saw the field all that well yesterday. Xavier Worthy, I think it's clear now, and he is trying to play through it. And Mahomes kind of hinted at this in postgame. And Worthy did speak to the media and some of that stuff on our social media from the locker room. He's clearly just trying to play through 3 different injuries right now and is not his normal self. That's not me making an excuse. I just think it's very evident. You guys watch the game. He's going to the sideline, slamming his helmet down and getting looked at the trainers after every possession, but multiple possessions. He's got like an ankle and a foot. Plus he's got the dislocated shoulder. You wonder why the production has gone down. He's playing, I don't know if 70% is correct or what, but he's clearly not playing anywhere near 100. Nobody is, but he in particular, Cody, I think he's dealing with 3 different injuries right now. And so that has really hurt his explosiveness and how effective. Now, he came up with one of the biggest catches of the game still on that 3rd down in overtime. It was a great catch. I didn't think it was actually a great throw. That was a great catch from Xavier Worthy there in OT.
It was. And look, they had multiple... Like, it was nice. Like, the second half of the offense, when they had the mid-range game, that's what I've been missing all year.
Yeah, intermediate, crossing routes, all of it. Yep.
Yeah, people, and like, Tony Romo, he had pointed out on the broadcast, and this is one of the complaints he'd had about Mahomes, was that they were getting too clogged up in the middle, And because of that, these guys were like running similar routes and it was causing some issues offensively. And I don't necessarily think that that's wrong, but it was like the second, but they need that middle game in order to make this work. They spent too much time the previous weeks, like working on the outside. And as much as they do have speed, it didn't seem like it was working offensively. It's just so weird with their offense. I both like and dislike the things they do, but I can't deny that they can move the football, especially. And look, to their credit, Mahomes, who has not been the same quarterback this year, he's better than last year, I think, in fairness. He just still doesn't look like 4 years ago Mahomes yet.
Yeah, that's more than fair.
In a do or die, gotta have it, desperation, back against the wall, he started dealing. He started hitting everything and every player, and the offense hummed. So it's still in there. And look, he doesn't look like the way Stafford's rolling right now.
Stafford's going to be the MVP this year.
They're the best team in the league.
Yeah, the Rams were awesome last night, and they've been awesome for six straight games. And yeah, it's kind of ridiculous the efficiency and the unpredictable nature that Sean McVay has that offense running with right now.
They're on a heater. They're calling phony fake screens and then back screens to third tight ends right now. Like, it doesn't matter what they're doing. It's all hitting. They're just kind of in their bag and they're feeling good. But Patrick Mahomes is still on pace to have more passing touchdowns this year, more yards this year, similar number of interceptions this year. It's going to look a lot like last year's statistically. It's not going to be significantly more than some of those numbers, because last year he had 245 yards a game. This year he's having 270. So there is an increase.
There's probably a lot of reasons that built into it. Some of it you could still say is lack of trust in O-line or not trusting receivers, et cetera. The ability in particular in the flat sometimes, and if it's not a route down the field, to see the open receiver. Now, people can disagree all they want. I still think there were multiple times yesterday where in man covers, the Chiefs had nobody getting open. I think both can be true. I think there were multiple times when the Colts went to man coverage, the Chiefs did not have Hollywood Brown winning in one-on-one or Xavier Worthy winning one-on-one. There were also times yesterday where guys were open in the flat and open in the middle of the field, and he was gun-shy or didn't see the field well. I don't know the reason for that. I think all of that can be true, and that's what's happened. Now they're going to get ready to take on a Cowboys team that is playing their best football of the season. So this is the dream matchup for CBS on Thanksgiving. You got a come from behind victory for the Cowboys against their division rival in Philly. They were down 21-0. I think it was tied for the second largest comeback or the largest comeback in Cowboys history. It's one of the biggest collapses for the Eagles in their franchise's history. You got the Chiefs coming off an overtime win. It all comes together for a 3:30 kick on Thanksgiving. So they're loving it. The Cowboys, what has changed for them is on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, they were the worst defense in football the first 8 weeks.
Other than the Bengals.
Yeah.
But yes, probably one of the worst.
It was terrible. They go and trade for Quinnen Williams, and he, for 2 weeks now, it's two games, is all it is, but two games, he is causing problems for every offensive line they have faced so far. 15 pressures in 6 days, because the way they're scheduled. 15 pressures in 6 days for Quinnen Williams. Career high, 8 pressures against the Eagles on 30 pass rushers for a 26% rate. Since joining the Cowboys, he has more quarterback pressures than any other defensive tackle, the second lowest average time to pressure. He's been as dominant as anybody in football in the interior since he got traded.
And the Chiefs are going to be without Trey Smith.
Yep.
Most likely, the reports from Ian Rappaport earlier today are he's suffering from both a high and low ankle sprain and is likely to miss time, including this game on Thursday. Look, the Cowboys are not an easy out. Covering George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb alone is kind of a nightmare situation for pretty much any cornerback set. Plus, they're pretty good with Jake Ferguson, and although the Chiefs are coming off a good game in which they held Tyler Warren, that's another guy they got to figure out how to cover while covering the tight ends. This game is going to be a fight. Like, I think down to the wire, like, the defense is going to have to do some of the things they just did against Indianapolis, or they're going to need to find a way to get a turnover, because Dallas is a scary team. And honestly, they might be the NFC's version of the Chiefs. Nothing has seemed quite right, but nothing has been quite off. They have an offense, but sometimes it doesn't perform to its level. They still only scored 24 points in that game yesterday, despite the fact Dak went for... Does it sound familiar? Chiefs, Cowboys only got to 24 points, despite their quarterback throwing for 350 and running the ball successfully and trailing late in the game. They're just like the NFC Chiefs this year. The only difference is that they don't have to travel this week. So, like, I think this game is going to come down
to a big advantage for the
who
Cowboys.
Who shows up last minute in the biggest moment.
Yeah, it's a big advantage. You wonder why. We were looking it up, you know, with Dak Prescott. Maybe the record's not all that impressive on Thanksgiving. But in general, the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. They've got a pretty good track record. You know, they're the home team. Their opponent is coming on a short week. The Chiefs are coming off of an overtime win. We just discussed in the first hour, Kareem Hunt is very much beat up after that game. We'll find out everybody's availability over the next couple days. Trey Smith looks like he'll be unavailable. So this is a team where nobody's really healthy heading in. And the Cowboys, I think they have a few injuries as well, so we'll see where they're at. But there's... I know Drew on Tuesday and Wednesday, Drew and JT and then Mac on Friday, and everybody will be talking the rest of the week about it. But the Cowboys, offensively, the Chiefs just faced an offense that might be the number one. Weapon-wise, the Cowboys are a matchup just mess. George Pickens is playing at another level. CeeDee Lamb, while he had a bunch of drops yesterday, we all know what he's capable of. Their tight end's not too bad there. And Jake Ferguson, they got a running back in Javonte Williams who's playing really well. Like this is going to be a much tougher game than I think we all thought it was going to be 3 weeks ago, because in large part because the Cowboys are playing a lot better football defensively, but still, their offense was never the problem for Dallas. It was always more their defense. If their defense has actually figured something out, then yeah, this is going to be a dogfight on Thanksgiving.
I think largely because the team has struggled and it hasn't been the same, I probably on aggregate have been a little harder on the defense than it's deserved, just based on what they've done against the league's top offenses. They have now faced the league's number 1, 2, 5, and 10 ranked offenses in the NFL. Baltimore is the number 10 ranked offense. And again, I remind you, they were healthy at the time they faced Kansas City. Lamar Jackson played 3.5 quarters. Indianapolis, we saw what they just did against them. Detroit, they did a really nice job against Detroit. And that's another weapon-loaded offense, right? Amon-Ra, yeah. Jahmyr Gibbs. I mean, that's a team that can just attack you from a million places. Held Buffalo below their season average. So, like, against the league's top offenses, they've actually done okay. Dallas, by the way, the number 4 offense in the league, as it sits right now, will be another challenge. My guess is that this is coming down to the final drive in the fourth quarter. Whether the Chiefs are on defense or on offense, can they get a score? Can they stop the team from scoring? That this is going to be on Thursday. My assumption is this will be the final possession of the game kind of decider. You guys think it's going to be the other way around? Because I'm having a hard time.
I mean, look,
most
NFL games do actually come down to the final possession or two, so that's probably right. I would say the question is, look, the Cowboys did not score a point in the first half. Isn't that right? They were down 21-0 against the Eagles. Now, the Eagles' defense is awesome, but they woke up in the second half, and then they shut out the Eagles in the second half. So I don't want to suddenly act like the Dallas Cowboys are a 9-1 football team or something. They're playing their best football, though. That's what makes them scary. They got the advantage on the short week with the home game and everything. But they're also capable still of just putting together a clunker type performance. Yep. I mean, it was not that many weeks ago where they did. I think the difference, though, is Quinnen Williams for them defensively. So we'll see. Does Dak have all day? Because if Dak has all day, it's different. You know, blitzing Dak Prescott is different than blitzing Daniel Jones. So with the weapons that he has and how they approach it. So it's going to be, I think a much tougher game than we realize. The Chiefs, if you're wondering, 3.5-point favorites, just like they were against the Colts. The Chiefs won against the Colts, did not cover the 3.5. They won by 3. The Chiefs
15-0, though.
Yeah, teams in that spot. Yeah, that trend continues. That's true.
Is the sun going to be shining in people's eyes during that game, too?
I don't know what the weather is like in Dallas. Is it going to be cloudy or what? I'm not sure.
Hard to say.
I'm curious how many Chiefs fans will make the trip. If that was one. It's Thanksgiving, though, so you would think that'll knock down a little bit of the visiting crowd. But we'll see how much red will be
like,
in the screen.
Let's do weird Thanksgiving this year.
Yeah.
Because how often do you get to go to Dallas for a Thanksgiving football game, you know?
I agree. All right. Trash of the day. This is a bizarre one from Bangkok, Thailand. All right.
Okay.
So a woman in Thailand shocked people when it turns out maybe she wasn't dead. Let me explain. Yeah.
What now?
A Buddhist temple on the outskirts of Bangkok posted a video on its Facebook page showing a woman lying in a white coffin in the back of a pickup truck, slightly moving her arms and head. The temple's general and financial affairs manager told the APA on Monday the 65-year-old woman's brother drove her from the province of, I can't pronounce it, to be cremated. So he then, at the facility, heard a faint knock coming from inside the coffin.
Ah, sounds like a horror movie.
Quote, I was a bit surprised, so I asked him to open the coffin. Everyone was startled. I saw her opening her eyes slightly and knocking on the side of the coffin. She must have been knocking for quite some time. Now, we have had stories like this before, and I do feel like for whatever reason they happen, like none of these stories ever happen in the United States. These are always stories in like smaller villages or towns or country. It's kind of bizarre. According to this article, the brother said his sister had been bedridden for 2 years, so was never in good health. When her health deteriorated, she became unresponsive, appearing to stop breathing 2 days ago. The brother placed her in a coffin. So he didn't even, he just placed her in a coffin, made a 300-mile journey to a hospital.
She was in the back of a car. Oh my God. This is the worst.
To which the woman had previously expressed a wish to donate her organs. The hospital refused to accept the brother's offer. He didn't have a death certificate. So they said, no. The reason why he took her to a Buddhist temple, they offer a free cremation service, which is why the brother approached them on Sunday. They also refused because he still did not have the death certificate. The temple manager said while he was explaining how to get a death certificate, that's when they heard a little. Yeah.
Okay, look. This is worst case scenario. Yep. You had to drive 300 miles in the coffin where your brother's trying to get you cremated and you weren't dead.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the other problem is that, like, I feel like if I worked at a cremation place, that would just be like, I'd just be thinking it was in my head. I'd be like, man, I've been working around bodies too long. What are the odds that that's an actual person knocking? I'm just hearing the stuff in my head because the panic over cremating someone who doesn't deserve to be cremated. I guess that's why you get the death certificate, because otherwise it'd be like, I mean, I can't believe the Buddhist guy didn't just like push it in there and turn on the heat. She's lucky she didn't get cremated.
No, I don't know if she might be alive, but it sounds she's been bedridden for 2 years. I mean, this woman may not, still might
temple
be
says they'll cover the rest for terrible, medical expenses, so, you know,
terrible
nice.
Health or whatever. But the knock from inside the coffin. You were about to. This was his sister, right? He's about to kill his sister. That's what was about to happen.
I just like.
She had been bedridden for 2 years, and this guy's like, all right, let's drive 300 miles. Let's get her out of here.
There's just no worse way to die. Man. That kind of thing. Buried alive.
Oh.
Cremated alive. I mean, there's just no.
You're barely conscious in your inside. You realize you're inside of a coffin. And you're literally feet away from being burned alive. So this is why couldn't she push the coffin door open?
Well, she's bedridden.
She's very weak. She's not in good health. She has no strength.
He thought she was dead.
She barely could knock on the coffin.
I mean, I got to be honest, though. Like, that's not how this works. Gold, if someone around you, you can't just, like, check the pulse and be like, well, they're dead. And then I'll just bury him, I guess. Now, that's not how any of this works.
It's different in Thailand and this province.
Well, clearly not. They both kept telling him, go get a bet.
Well, he was from a small, it sounds like a small village or something.
Yeah,
So she was in the back of this vehicle for 300 miles, still alive.
Huh. I mean, genuinely, the stuff.
I think this guy was just about done. That's what I think actually happened. I think the brother was like, nah, we're done.
He was tired of taking care of his sister?
I think that's what happened.
Dang.
I think that's what happened here.
And he thought they'd just take her because she wasn't moving enough?
That's what I think happened.
At least it says the monks are going to take care of it. It said they'll handle all medical expenses.
Well, good for them.
Maybe get her back to health. You know? Maybe she doesn't have to be bedridden and he just hasn't been taking very good care of her.
My sophomore year in college, so I was in an apartment, but it was on campus. And so I had four roommates, and one of the roommates was already there before we got there, like in August. And it turns out he was a monk.
Oh,
that was on camp. That was quite the experience for the first semester.
First semester of college and a monk?
Not first semester of college. Yeah. First semester of like sophomore year.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of our roommates he was already there. They must have like arrived on campus way earlier. We had no idea. Just all of a sudden. Now, there was a monk.
That was nice?
I'll be honest, we barely could talk to him. It was a huge cultural and language barrier that we ran into. Like, we tried to, like, it was an interesting experience.
I would have done whatever I could to convince that monk to shotgun one beer. I would have just done whatever experience. It took to make it be like, come on,
no,
man.
They took everything very seriously, Cody. Like,
loosen up.
Very seriously. Like, there was no, the end of the day's over, like, out of, you know, like, no, they were, that was their life. Like, I mean, that was everything to them. It was a very interesting experience for 3 or 4 months.
We got to get to a break, but it's a good question from the text. I'm familiar with it. Where did this guy get a coffin?
He probably just built it.
Can you just like pick
probably
one
just built it?
Built it?
He probably just built it. Yeah. Anyway, that's the trash of the day. Up next, Chiefs Run Half Hour, special time with Vinny Pasquantino, normally on a Tuesday, but obviously with the holiday, our schedule moved around a bit. So we'll talk some football with.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Vinny, next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net, Kansas City's most respected deck builder.
We're going to be joined by our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino, in a couple of minutes here. He joins us typically on Tuesdays around 10:30, but it's a holiday week, so we shifted some stuff around, so we appreciate Vinny working with us on that. We'll talk some NFL and who knows, whatever else as well in the world with one Vinny Pasquantino.
We'll find out if he's getting an extension this offseason.
Well, I want to ask him too, like, how often is he paying attention to, is he locked into all the, like, there was a big baseball trade yesterday that happened.
Oh, yeah.
You know, how much is he just, like, paying attention? Is he waiting and keeping an eye on, you know, the Jeff Passan tweets of the world as well? So we'll ask him about that in just a bit.
Yeah, I am always curious, you know, plus, you know, the kind of things we don't have to realize that players or coaches or athletes deal with. Bill Belichick's girlfriend says she's going to sue Pablo Torre over all of her stuff. Maybe Vinny's considering suing someone for slander.
Can you imagine if that actually happens with Jordan Hudson, that the discovery there, what would come out about text messages and stuff that Belichick and Hudson have said? Like, I don't think you want to actually go that far. If you're Jordan Hudson.
Seems,
but maybe
like
she doesn't get, Belichick shouldn't want that to happen. All right, let's get to our NFL insider.
He's a husband, a dog dad, a first baseman, and a fantasy football commissioner.
Being a commissioner for the league is tough, and I'm really excited. I'm wearing a suit today.
He also likes to fill the bathtub with hard work and Jets tears.
I can't take any more disappointment. That's what he used to say when we watched the Jets games together.
But his most important job is being a Vin FL insider.
I haven't enjoyed a football season since 1969.
On 96.5 The Fan, here's Vinny Pasquantino.
Oh, yes, it is time to talk to Vinny. Now, it mentions there, you hear not only important jobs related to football and baseball, but a dog dad. And my understanding is you were taking care of the dog this morning. Is this a routine of yours? Did the dog always go to doggy daycare?
Yeah. So, well, first off, thank you for the intro this week, fellas.
Yeah.
Cody, you know? Welcome back.
Thank you.
Drew, welcome back to calling me to get me on. So everything is right in the world with you three.
It feels so good again. We were cursed for a little bit as a show.
It's bad luck last week, Vinny.
Yeah, so I wake up early. I work out. I get to the gym at like 8:30 or so. But if I wake up early enough, I got to get to the dog. I got to get the dog to daycare by 9. If I'm after 9, he can't go. So, okay. I guess this truck's going to let me pull out. sorry. But. So I got him up. Sometimes I'll wake up and my wife is like, "You're going to take him to daycare?" And I really don't want to because it's out of my way. And I was in a good mood this morning. So I took him to daycare and it worked out that I got done at the gym, got done hitting, got done doing all my stuff. And I picked him up right at 11:30. So it was a tough timing when you have an 11:30 radio interview.
Were you in a good mood for what particular reason? Did you get like an extension or something? You could tell us now.
No. Hey, what does our GM say? He says there has to be interest from the other side. I think that's what he likes to say publicly. So I'll say that right back. There has to be interest from the other side. So we'll leave it at that.
Fair enough.
I have interest in maintaining you as our NFL insider, so I'm going to need you to stick around.
Hey, as long as I'm here, I'm working for you guys, so I can give you that promise.
Do you pay attention? Alex was asking me in the break. You pay attention to the other big trades in Major League Baseball? Like, do you guys all text back and forth when Simeon gets traded or stuff like that?
That was the talk of the gym this morning about that trade. just because it's, I think it's more rare nowadays that you see a big leaguer for big leaguer just straight up swap.
Mm-hmm.
So, because, you know, a lot of times it'll be one team is getting prospects back or something. So I think it was an interesting trade. One thing I think I hate is these models that grade trades, and they're simply just like some sort of code that was written. Mm-hmm. We don't know who won the trade in November. So I always think it's funny when people hop online and talk about who won or lost the trade when it's like, well, what if the fit better is better one play? Like, fit matters a lot. And I think that's one thing that, like, baseball trade values can't, you know, it might say it's an overpay or an underpay, whatever it is, but fit matters, personalities matter. So we'll see what happens.
I know you could probably drive yourself crazy if you paid attention to everything that is said about you as a professional athlete on social media. I can't imagine. But do you get a kick out of when you see people speculate about, you know, the Royals, you know, are going to go acquire a certain player and then your name is mentioned by somebody as a trade piece and things like, do you pay attention to that? I mean, do you get a laugh out of that or what?
Well, I think you trust who's running the organization and you trust their word. So when you see things online, I mean, that's just natural to speculate this time of year. And I feel like I have a good relationship with our front office. So, you know, I don't think I'm personally going anywhere, but it doesn't mean that if they don't get the right deal, that they don't do it. So it's one of those things where you try not to pay attention to, but just naturally you're going to see it. I don't know why there's so many trucks around me this morning making all this noise, but sorry about that. And because I have the dog in the car, he really needs the window to be down.
Oh.
Sorry. But, yeah, you see it, but you mostly just laugh at it because at the end of the day, it could be true, right? I mean, it could be. You could be being shopped or people might be asking about you, but pretty much every single player is being asked about. I'm sure that Bobby has been asked about. I'm sure that Salvi has been asked about. It's just one of those things that pretty much everybody's got a price, and it's just a matter of who's willing to pay it.
So I know a couple of weeks ago you had mentioned our guy David Leske was writing about. He wrote an article about you and whether or not you should get an extension. Do you want to make your own pitch? Why should you get an extension? Why, you know, like, sell yourself a little, you know?
That's a hilarious question. I think, actually, there's no funny way to answer this question. I'm trying to think of, because
there's
money
lots
is
of good,
good
baseball reasons, you know?
And just selfishly, that'd be great. So no, I do not have a pitch. I do not have a pitch on that subject, but thank you for asking.
You know, got to try, you know? Let's at least get to the football. Let's get to the football end of things, Vinny. What'd you make of the Chiefs wins against the Colts? Let's start there. Obviously a dicey game for a big chunk of it. Where are you at on the Chiefs?
Yeah, I think that felt more like a vintage Chiefs game, which I think is good. So, you know, you go down, you have that big drive there at the end of the game where you go take the lead. Or no, sorry, it went to overtime, right?
Yeah.
But they went down and scored. I think that's what you're looking for, right, is tough wins like that. I mean, I don't think too many people are scared of Daniel Jones himself, but that offense is pretty, you know, good. Jonathan Taylor can run the football. Their offensive line's really good. So I think getting a win against that team, that's a good win. I don't know, other than helping to make the playoffs, I don't think it's that meaningful of a win other than, you know, just another win, which I guess is huge because if they had lost, it would be way tougher to make the playoffs. But I think all in all, that's what you want to see as a Chiefs fan is finding ways to win the game instead of finding ways to lose the game.
Yeah, for now, it was a season-saving type of victory for the Chiefs, and then they get a quick turnaround, Vinny, Thanksgiving against the Cowboys. What's the Thanksgiving look like for you? Are you just sitting down on the couch watching football all day, I should say? What's the Thanksgiving plan?
I would say I have to. I get the opportunity to go to my in-laws for Thanksgiving. It's my, how do you say, like, grandparents but in-laws, like
I think in that case I would just say my wife's grandparents.
So they're in another state, so I get to drive there, which is fun, but I'm trying to make it as short of a trip as possible.
Do you make anything? Did you contribute to the food?
Okay, so this is kind of funny, but I ordered this fruit or this vegetable tray from this kid in my neighborhood. They were raising money for something. So I ordered some vegetable tray, and it came with this cheesecake. So we're bringing a cheesecake. I don't know why a cheesecake came with the vegetable
yeah.
guy, but it did, and it's going with us. So, no, I'm not making anything, but I am bringing something.
Do you guys have different fundraisers in Nashville than us? I felt like people just did, like,
popcorn,
trash bags and popcorn and stuff. Yeah. You're getting vegetable trays and cheesecakes?
I think that's just the state of the times. We're a little bit healthier now, maybe. I don't know. To be honest, I kind of
This is the neighborhood. This is the neighborhood Vinny's in.
Yeah, I gave him some cash, and we moved on. So that's how it worked. I didn't really want the conversation, but I just said, you know what? Yeah, I'll take some vegetables and apparently a cheesecake.
Man of the neighborhood.
Just,
I like it.
Just paid the kid off. Yeah. Like, here, take the cash, kid.
Get off my lawn.
Didn't even matter if it was a scam. He would have just been like, well, I didn't get the vegetables, I guess.
Well, he was kind of funny because I said to the kid, I was like, hey, can I just give you cash? And he looked at me, was like, please give me cash. So I'm not exactly sure where that cash went to, but it got him off of my front porch, which was nice.
Like, does the vegetable tray look legit? You think it's good?
Oh, it's great. It's vegetable and fruit. Some of the apples that are in there are phenomenal. So
all right.
I'm very happy with that. I'm very happy with that purchase.
Let's get to your power. Well, fruit rankings we could do. Power rankings for teams.
Off the rails here today,
we
huh?
have.
You
yeah.
know what? Sometimes it goes away. Let's get a little power ranking from you, Vinny. Who are your top five teams right now? We know the Chiefs finally fell off your list after a couple of losses. Where do you have the five best teams? Then we can get your five worst, too.
So I feel as if the Rams are kind of a clear number one.
Yes.
Matthew Stafford was in what my friends are describing as God mode last night. They're tough to beat with that defense and with him. I mean, Devontae Adams is open on every single play, I think. So that's pretty good. I got to witness that firsthand last year. Didn't help my team. Let's see. Let me pull this up. Yeah, I'm going to put the Rams at one. Dude, like, I don't know. I'm looking at all these teams, and after one, it's just like, wow, there's some decent teams in there. But, like, I guess the Patriots have to be in there.
Yeah.
The freaking Broncos have to be in there. Gross.
Yeah, that's not good.
Like, the Eagles are just no fun to watch. A.J. Brown got the ball yesterday, though, so that at least he's happy today. the Colts, like... I don't know. I think there's top three. I don't have a top five.
That's fair.
Because I've just been naming teams. But let's go to the bottom five.
Okay.
The Titans are garbage.
Oh,
the Giants, that's hilarious that they lost the game yesterday, but I had a buddy who put some money on it when the Lions were down 10, so he did pretty good.
Nice.
The Jets, who I liked what I saw out of them yesterday, I will say, against the Ravens, I liked what I saw. They lost by a lot, but I liked it. Actually, the Raiders might be the worst team in football. They stink.
Yeah, they just fired their OC. Chip Kelly's gone, too.
And then, like, is Shedeur Sanders the truth? It's going to get loud this week, fellas. It's going to get loud. Just prepare for that.
You're not wrong there. Yeah.
It's going to be – I bet ESPN will – I haven't watched any TV today, but I bet that's all they're going to be talking about.
Oh, it's their, Vinny, it's their dream day. The Cowboys won in comeback fashion, and then Shedeur Sanders got a win in his debut. Our producer, hey, who's not even a Cleveland guy, I think is more excited about that than anything else today.
So tell me this, and this doesn't even make sense, and obviously I'm not this week, but why do I kind of like the Cowboys?
I think it's because offensively they have nothing but weapons. Tons
I think
of
I like
weapons.
Dak Prescott. I think that's mm-hmm. the answer for me. I think I just like him. So I kind of root for them. And I think they get so much scrutiny, but they also get so much love. So I just don't know what to do. But obviously this week, Chiefs by 10.
By 10, there it is. All right.
Yeah. And oh, then good. I'll be at the Sunday night game against the Texans. I'll be there for that one.
Oh, so you're coming in?
I'm coming in. And as you guys know, I'm basically undefeated when I show up at Arrowhead. So
I was about to say, you've got a tremendous winning record. Can you come in Friday? Yeah. Then we can have you in for drinks or something on Friday. How early are you coming in? Are you coming in that
I'm coming
that
in
day?
On Saturday.
Too late.
And then game Sunday. And then WWE Monday Night Raw in Kansas City on Monday night. Maybe we'll go to that, too. We'll see.
I feel like there's a cameo happening Monday for you during that, then.
No, I wish, but no.
No?
You sure we can't make a few calls and get you involved in a cameo?
No,
they
I play
Camp
baseball. They don't care about that. you gotta stay in your lane, boys. And baseball is like the in terms of you know you got football. I'd say is number one, probably NBA is number two, and then baseball at three, I think. But maybe nowadays, like WNBA is climbing. So, you know, we'll see.
I think we asked Jeff Passan. He got a shout out on one of the broadcasts once, didn't he?
He did, but, you know, that guy's a legend, Kansas City legend. I texted him last night right after the news broke, being like, wow, what do you got?
I'm sure he was on the news pretty early there. Big trades, man. It's been a lot going on in baseball. Well, I hope you enjoy your Thanksgiving, Vinny, even though you got to drive. I don't know, how far away is the drive?
3.5 hours.
That's not terrible. Well, enjoy that vegetable tray in particular.
Oh, I'm gonna.
That's Vinny Pasquantino, our NFL insider. Happy Thanksgiving.
And vegetable insider.
That's true.
Thanks, guys.
That's our NFL insider. Yeah, the vegetable tray. Look, vegetable tray before the meal, like so very earlier in the day, you know, early in the day when you're waiting for the turkey and everything to be done, and people just want to, you know, snack on something, Cody. You do like the cheese and cracker and meat tray with a little veggie tray while you're waiting. I don't mind that move. I think that's a solid decision. If you're not going to eat till 3 or 4, you have a little charcuterie available, you know, or a veggie tray like at noon for people if they're already over there.
Veggie tray is interesting, though. If it's not like one of the, just if it was a fruit basket, because I'm.
He says it's both.
It is
ranch and carrots.
If you hear veggie tray, though, that's dried up broccoli with some mushrooms or a cauliflower and carrots. Then some ranch and carrots.
I gotta say,
that doesn't sound as appealing.
If you are paying the price for like the pre-made one at the store, you're getting ripped off.
He just paid for a pre-made one.
I agree.
You're getting ripped. The price on it is crazy. Yeah. They've gotten out of control with these vegetables.
Like a lot of things. You know this.
Chop up carrots.
Convenience. You know? Convenience is the answer. He at least has a homemade one, sounds like, for a 3.5 hour drive. Is not terrible on Thanksgiving.
Well, cheesecake? Hey.
That is true. His does.
He did tell us at one point his favorite dessert was cheesecake. I remember we talked about that on the show one time.
Yeah.
So he's probably happy to discover that got...
And he's going to be in town for Chiefs Texans in a week and a half or whatever.
I think we can't get him on like he doesn't make a cameo. We can't get him on a broadcast shot. Vinny?
I just think he's sitting in the front row, WWE Raw. He's sitting front row, and they just did it with Cam Scataboo or whatever. You just have, you know, all of a sudden Vinny and a teammate of his. They just, you know, they usually it's just more.
Just have him be one of the person holds
they
him
just
up
stand
and get,
up.
You know,
they just stand up and look tough for a second. And that's basically what has happened every cameo for WWE that I've seen with an athlete.
Vinny's tall, you know, like he could tower over somebody for a minute, maybe.
It does feel like I don't like baseball need or WWE needs to get baseball in the game because, like you said, with Scataboo, Tyrese Halliburton has been involved, Jalen Brunson, you know, with WWE before, feels like it's, you know, it's baseball's turn.
Is there any, like, because I know that, like, in wrestling, they have, like, factions, right? So everybody, like, sticks to their clan or whatever. So there's, like, you know, wrestlers that are Samoan that are, like, is there an Italian group? Because that would just feel like Vinny could incorporate himself in that grouping, you know? That's all.
My guess is there is.
I don't know. I don't watch enough wrestling to know. It's not that I've seen zero. It's just I just don't know enough to be sure.
I don't know if this is still around. There historically, it says there was in the WWE, okay. Cody.
Somebody help us out over on the text line. That way we know if there's one active. Sometimes I just feel like if he's going to stay for Raw, then I, you know, might as well make the most of it.
Someone says Hulk Hogan was Italian. Is that right? Oh, I have no idea about wrestling. That's the one thing I truly have never followed all that closely. Don't know anything about the history. I know like the five biggest names, and that's about it. Like The Rock and Dwayne
Hulk
The Rock, you know, like, and Hulk Hogan.
Could you name
and Triple
active
H.
Wrestlers? Could you
active?
Absolutely not. No way.
The Miz, right? He's one.
There was.
I think The Miz is one.
In the mid-90s.
That's about all I got for you.
In the mid-90s, there were a tag team group called the FBI, Full-Blooded Italians.
Okay. Oh, there we go.
So there's a couple of those, you know? But I don't think they got like a faction, you know, the way some of these others do. So someone says Vinny isn't popular enough for them. What do you mean? He's an affable professional baseball player. What's not to like?
He's also on TV.
Pasquatch. I mean, come on.
He ran the social media account for Major League Baseball for a World Series.
He's at least as popular as Cam Scataboo is, I would say.
Scataboo's in New York. That's the NFL is king. That's the only problem there.
And his maximum popularity, you know, when he was running around and
He was just on it while he's hurt. He was just on it the other week.
No, I know, but I meant like, but he'd already gotten the buzz going. You know, that's all.
Yeah,
that's all. That's the Chiefs Red Half Hour, I guess. You know what, Vinny, got us at least a little bit in there, and we'll talk more Shedeur Sanders, I'm sure, later, as we've got our stock up and stock down.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be surprising if it wasn't at least someone in there. The only other thing I'll say is, interesting that Vinny sounds like he's more than interested in being here, and that the war of public opinion of, I'm interested in staying here, you say you,
of course.
It's got to be mutual interest, mutual interest both ways. He's certainly suggesting he has interest.
Yeah,
why wouldn't he?
Why wouldn't he?
Like he said, money's nice.
Yeah, why wouldn't you if you're Vinny want an extension? And now it takes two to tango. We've talked about it. What stinks about the setup for baseball is, as you know, how many years of control the team already has, and so they're unfortunately on one hand. On the other side, you're saying, well, he's not going anywhere. For multiple years, we've got him under contract, and that's the challenging part about it.
Yeah, but they can control.
He's
going to
get
so long.
I will say the good news for one, Vinny Pasquantino, not that it's the long term security of a long term contract, but because of the season he had, there's a very nice arbitration bump coming from him.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that number is going to be, but it's going to be very nice.
So he makes league minimum now because he's pre-arb, which is around $850,000 a year. His current arbitration estimate number is $5.25 million. So
not too bad.
He's going to septuple
his
salary. And that's an arb year one. He still has three more additional arb years. This goes back to the why I would extend him if I'm the Royals. Not just because I think the stats are good, but you can buy out those arbitration years, not have to go sit in the meetings.
Well, they avoid those meetings usually anyway.
Yeah, and then tack on a couple of years at the end and really lock up the majority of Vinny's career.
All right, we'll get to what's trending. I want to get right back into the Chiefs and the Colts yesterday and how the Chiefs kept their season alive, plus stock up, stock down.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.